The battle to get you to buy a tablet is about to get a little more intense.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiotakis. In a little over an hour, Amazon will introduce its new tablet computer. It's really an updated Kindle, its electronic reader, and the new gadget will be called the Kindle Fire. Like BlackBerry, Lenovo, and Samsung, Amazon is going to try to take on Apple's iPad. But Amazon is looking to protect itself as well. Marketplace's New York Bureau Chief Heidi Moore is with us live to talk about it now. Morning, Heidi.
Morning, Steve.
What does the market for tablets look like right now? I mean, why would Amazon get into this?
Well, the market for tablets can be described in four letters. iPad. Yeah. Apple's iPad has a lot of fans, so many fans, in fact, that the company dominates the market for tablet computers. For every 10 tablets sold in America, 7 of them are iPads. Almost every other computer company has come out with a tablet, but they don't sell. I talked to Roger Kay. He's the founder of Endpoint Technology Associates.
Many have tried and many have failed in the tablet war. So Amazon comes to a field already littered with bodies.
So then, littered with bodies, why is Amazon even trying?
Well, they have to go out on that field. They don't have a choice. Amazon has to take on the iPad or see its customers just walk out the door. Here's Kay again.
The main thing is it's a defensive move in the sense that it doesn't want Apple, which offers a Kindle app, to take away its customers.
Still, it's a long shot. Apple announces a new iPhone next week, actually, on Monday, and the company has a way of upstaging its rivals, as we know.
As we do know, Marketplace's Heidi Moore in New York. Heidi, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mixed at the moment. London's FTSE is down about 0.5%, but other markets in Frankfurt and Paris are slightly higher at the moment. Wall Street yesterday, markets added a little bit. The Dow added 146 points to close at 11,190. Boeing's first new 787 Dreamliner landed in Tokyo earlier today to take its place in the fleet of All Nippon Airways. The Dreamliner is 3 years late, and that could be an indication of delays to come as Boeing and its European rival Airbus prepare to fill a record number of new orders for aircraft. From London, here's reporter Christopher Wirth.
Boeing and Airbus are fierce competitors, but at this factory in Scotland, wing sections for both companies' planes are hammered out side by side.
The two largest commercial aircraft companies are our biggest customers.
That's Conrad King of Spirit AeroSystems. It's a company that's just one piece of a global supply chain that Boeing and Airbus will depend on to churn out more planes, a lot more planes. This year alone, new orders have totaled over $90 billion.
It's one of, or if not the most critical issue facing our industry at this point in time, is how do we grow our production rates?
Airbus has publicly warned that that supply chain, which provides everything from jet engines to the overhead compartments for your carry-on bag, may not be able to ramp up production fast enough. Joseph Lampel, an aerospace expert at London's Cass Business School, says both Airbus and Boeing face serious bottlenecks. And he says a big reason is because manufacturers make parts for both companies.
For Airbus and Boeing, their supply chain overlaps so much that they come to the same supplier and basically make the same demands for components.
New aircraft like the 787 rely on cutting-edge materials such as lightweight carbon fiber. That means component suppliers have to secure financing for expensive new machinery. Graham Chisnell of the UK's Aerospace Trade Association says that's difficult when banks aren't lending.
That's one of the bottlenecks. Can these companies get the cash to actually fund the expansion that's necessary?
Back at Spirit AeroSystems factory, the company says it's on track to expand production just fine. Even then, airlines will have to wait years for the planes they've ordered. The backlog for the 787 Dreamliner, for example, is at 820 planes. If the airlines have to wait too long, they may start to cancel their orders in droves. In Scotland, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By Novo Nordisk, since 1923, committed to diabetes care and areas of unmet medical needs at Novo Nordisk-US.com. and by CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com.
Today, the head of the European Commission said the debt crisis there is the biggest challenge facing Europe in decades. And there's been a lot of commentary, of course, about how the crisis might play out. Take the case of one man with no professional financial market experience who's been wowing the Brits with the things he's been saying. More now from London and Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
In a national TV interview, Alessio Rastani described himself as a financial trader and gave this blunt opinion on the latest euro rescue plan.
The big funds, the hedge funds, they don't buy this rescue plan. They know the market is toast.
He told viewers that government attempts to contain the euro crisis were futile and would fail.
The governments don't rule the world. Goldman Sachs rules the world.
And Rastani thrilled and appalled viewers with his casual amorality.
I go to bed every night, I dream of another recession. I dream of another moment like this. Why? Because our job is to make money from it.
The interview was an instant hit, an internet sensation. One expert said you must watch this if you want to understand how markets work. But Rastani is not the high-powered trader he appeared. He runs a small public speaking agency, which is reportedly losing money. He says trading is not his business, but a hobby. His overnight success as a financial pundit owes much to the complexity and the tedium of the Eurozone debt crisis. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And finally, in Green Bay, Wisconsin, home of the revered Packers and their foam cheesehead-wearing fans, a group of doctors wanted to advertise the health hazards of cheese. So they announced their billboard would feature the Grim Reaper wearing a cheesehead. Packers fans were not happy, and they lashed out. The maker of the foam wedge cheesehead hats threatened to sue, and the doctors then decided to black the hat out on the Grim Reaper's head. Maybe cheese is just bad for them. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM. That's American Public Media.
There's a nursing program in Detroit that cranks out new graduates, but fast. Its jobs placement rate? Oh, 100%.
Everyone and their brother are going, they're in school to be a nurse right now. I mean, everybody knows at least five people, I swear.
I'm Kai Rizdal. New consumer confidence in the Motor City next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.